वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवतम् सेकेंड कैंटो चैप्टर 5 द कॉज ऑफ ऑल कॉजेस टेक्स्ट 20 सा एषा भगवान् लिंगैः त्रिभिः एतैः अभोक्षजः स्वालक्षिता गतिर् ब्रह्मन् सर्वेषां मम सा एषा भगवालिङ्गैः त्रिभिरेतैरधुक्षजः स्वालक्षिता गतिर्ब्रह्मन् सर्वेषां मम चेश्वरः सा एषा भगवाल्लिङ्गैः त्रिभिरेतैरभुक्षजः स्वालक्षिता गतिर्ब्रह्मन् सर्वेषां मम चेश्वरः सा एषा भगवाल्लिङ्गैः त्रिभिरेतैरधुक्षजः स्वालक्षिता गतिर्ब्रह्मन् सर्वेषां मम चेश्वरः
सायशा भगवालिंगाय
सायशा भगवालिंगाय
धीरे तायरा दुःख
धीरे तायरा दुःख जा
स्वलक्षिता गति ब्रह्मन्
स्वलक्षिता गति ब्रह्मन्
सर्वेषां मम चेश्वरः
सर्वेषां मम चेश्वरः
सायशा भगवालिंगाय
सायशा भगवालिंगाय
Matajis. This Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Lingai, by the symptoms. Tribhi, by the three. Etai, by all these. Adhokshajaha, the superseer transcendence. Su-alakshita, veritably unseen. Gatihi, movement. Brahman, O Narada, Sarvesham, of everyone. Mama, mine, cha, as also. Ishvaraha, the controller. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Brahmana Narada, the superseer, the transcendental Lord, is beyond the perception of material senses of the living entities because of the above mentioned three modes of nature. But he is the controller of everyone, including me. Please repeat after me. O Brahmana Narada,
O Brahmana Narada,
the superseer,
the superseer,
the transcendent Lord,
the transcendental Lord,
is beyond the perception of the material senses,
is beyond the perception of material senses,
of the living entities,
of the living entities,
because of the above mentioned three modes of nature,
because of the above mentioned three modes of nature.
But he is the controller of everyone,
but he is the controller of everyone,
including me,
including me.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.24.25, the Lord has declared very clearly that the impersonalist who gives more importance to the transcendental rays of the Lord as Brahma Jyoti and who concludes that the Absolute Truth is ultimately impersonal and only manifests a form at a time of necessity is less intelligent than the personalist. However much the impersonalist may be engaged in studying the Vedanta, the fact is that such impersonalists are covered by the above mentioned three modes of material nature. Therefore, they are unable to approach the transcendental personality of Godhead. The Lord is not approachable by everyone because he is curtained by his Yogamaya potency. But one should not wrongly conclude that the Lord was formerly unmanifested and has now manifested himself in the human form. This misconception of the formlessness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is due to the Yogamaya curtain of the Lord and can be removed only by the Supreme Will as soon as the conditioned soul surrenders unto him. The devotees of the Lord who are transcendental to the above mentioned three modes of material nature can see the all-blissful transcendental form of the Lord with their vision of love in the attitude of pure devotional service. Sa esha bhagavan lingais tribhir etoir adhokshajaha sva lakshita gatir brahman sarvesham vamcheshvaraha. O Brahmana Narada, the superseer, the transcendent Lord, is beyond the perception of the material senses of the living entities because of the above mentioned three modes of nature. But he is the controller of everyone, including me. So, Narad was under the impression that the Brahma was the supreme. So, when he saw that Brahma also was meditating upon someone and experiencing transcendental joy, and this joy was manifest in his body in the form of trembling, standing of hair, tears coming from his eyes, then Narada was surprised. He was wondering who he is meditating upon. And by meditating upon him, he is experiencing such bliss, such inner joy. And then when he asked Brahma, then Brahma revealed to him about his Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Brahma is now describing about the transcendental personality of Godhead. And in this point, in this verse, he is pointing out that the living entities in the material nature are conditioned or subjected to the three modes of nature: mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness. And as a result of that, they become conditioned and lose their spiritual vision. Because of the conditioning in this material nature, which is caused by the three modes of material nature, a living entity becomes limited to his sense perception. He becomes bound by his material body, and whatever he perceives through his senses, he considers that to be the reality, and he doesn't have any possibility of perceiving the reality that is beyond this material nature. And Prabhupada is pointing out that in the material nature, even though some people pursue or endeavor to understand the spiritual reality, even they cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead unless and until they receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The only way to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the only way to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead is through devotional service. Devotional service is the means by which a living entity develops his faculty to perceive the spiritual reality. Unless and until one comes to the platform of devotional service, even though he may be endeavoring for spiritual knowledge, even though he is endeavoring to become situated on the spiritual platform, he cannot, because still then he remains under the modes of material. For example, there is a group of spiritualists, those who haven't been fortunate enough to accept devotional service. They consider that the spiritual reality is impersonal. That is, in the spiritual reality, it's only light, a kind of a spiritual light, which is of course the cause of the material creation. The spiritual energy which gives rise to the material manifestation, but they do not have any understanding what lies beyond that light, Brahma Jyoti. They consider that the Brahma Jyoti is the ultimate absolute, and this Brahma Jyoti is impersonal. Now there are two kinds of impersonalists. One is a negative impersonalist, another is a positive impersonalist. Narad Muni, Sukadev Goswami, four Kumaras, mainly the four Kumaras and Sukadev Goswami and personalities like that, they at the beginning were impersonalists. But then they became personalists. Like the four Kumaras, just by smelling the fragrant tulasi leaves and flowers at his lotus feet, they developed a devotion to the Lord. And as a result of that, they could give up their attachment to the impersonal aspect and became his devotees. Similarly, Sukadev Goswami also at the beginning, he was an impersonalist, but then by the mercy of Vasudev, he could understand the personal feature of the Lord through the process of devotional service. It's only through the process of devotional service one can understand the personal aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the impersonals, as I was pointing out, there are two types. These are, Sukadev Goswami, four Kumaras, they are positive impersonalists. At the beginning they are impersonalists, they were attached to Brahman realization, but then they could go into the personal aspect. But there is a negative impersonalist. The negative impersonalists are the Mayavadis. These impersonalists are Brahmavadis. And negative impersonalists are Mayavadis, the follower of Shankaracharya. Not the follower of Shankaracharya, misled by Shankaracharya's presentation. Shankaracharya himself was not an impersonalist. Shankaracharya is a devotee. He is Lord Shiva himself. And Vaishnavanam Jathasambhu. But he came to accomplish a specific mission. That's why he presented a theory called Mayavad. Mayavadam Asat Shastram. Prachanna Bhutam Chate. Mayaiva vihitang devi kalau brahmanam murtina. Lord Shiva is telling Parvati that in the age of Kali, I will establish, I will propound a temporary conclusion of the Vedas, which is known as Mayavad, in order to accomplish a specific mission, which is actually covered Buddhism. Prachanna Bodham Uchyate. It's covered Buddhism. Now Buddhism is covered atheism and Mayavad is covered Buddhism. Therefore, Mayavad is actually atheism. Although apparently they speak about transcendental reality, but still they are totally atheistic. So Lord Shiva is presenting that to Parvati, that he, in the age of Kali, he will come in the form of a Brahmana. So who is that Brahmana? That Brahmana is Shankaracharya. Now what is the difference between negative impersonalism or positive impersonalism? The difference is the positive impersonalism, which is actually the aspect of the Vedic understanding. It is presented by Vasudeva. That is called Parinamvad, or the theory of transformation. Brahma Parinamvad. But Shankaracharya came and presented a new doctrine called Vivartavad, which is known as Kevaladvaitavad or Mayavad. So that is a negative impersonalism. The positive impersonalism is one stage of spiritual realization, where the energy of the Lord is perceived, or Brahma Jyoti, which is light, yes, it is there. But beyond that light is the personality of Godhead. And this light is the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is one transcendental reality, one aspect of the transcendental reality. Like in Upanishad we find the prayer is that please remove that, the curtain of that is covering your personal feature. So by following Upanishad, this, although they are accepting the Brahmavad, at certain point, but then they're transcending that point and coming to the personal aspect of the Lord. Through the impersonal aspect penetrating or going through that impersonal aspect, they're coming to the personal aspect. But Mayavad is negative. And through Mayavad, one cannot possibly come to the personal aspect of the Lord. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying that Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi. Mayavadi Bhashya Sunile Hoy Sarbunash. The Mayavadis are actually offenders to Krishna, and those offenders can never understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless and until they totally give up that offensive mentality. Pursuing that offensive mentality, they can never understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why it is saying that even to listen to the presentation of the Mayavad is very, very dangerous. So what is this Parinamvad as opposed to Vivartavad? Parinamvad is actually saying that Brahman is transformed into Jagat. Sarvam Khallidam Brahman. Yes, Brahman is transformed into, that is a theory of transformation. Just as milk becomes yogurt. Milk is a substance, yogurt also is a substance. It's a transformation. The spiritual has gradually transformed into material. Brahman, Mahatattva, and gradually modes of material nature, and they gave rise to various manifestation on this material. But what is Vivartavad? Vivartavad is a theory of illusion. One is a theory of transformation and the other is a Shankaracharya's theory is a theory of illusion. Illusion means it is not existing but it appears to be like that. And he established that theory through some examples or analogies. Just as a mirage appears to be water. There is no water in the mirage, but it appears to be water. Just as a rope appears to be a snake. This is illusion due to ignorance. So he came up with a theory of illusion like Brahma Satya Jagat Mitha. This Jagat is mitha, is false, is unreal. And that is how he actually established his theory of Kevaladvaitavada or Vivartavada, which is also known as Mayavada. Maya means illusion, theory of illusion. It is not there. And the Brahman is the only truth, Brahma Satya, and Jagat is mitha. Whatever appears to be is this variety, this variegatedness, this personal aspect is unreal. Now this has been defeated, this misconception by or misrepresentation by Shankaracharya has been defeated by Ramanujacharya in a very smart, very wonderful way. Ramanujacharya made I think about 21, with 21 points he actually defeated Shankaracharya's mind. Now one of the points is that fine, there is no water in the mirage. But somewhere the water is existing, that's why we are mistaking the mirage to be water. If the water didn't exist, then there was no question of mistaking the mirage to be water. Somewhere the snake must be existing, that's why mistaking the rope to be a snake. If the snake didn't exist, there was no question of mistaking the rope to be a snake. So fine, this is illusory, this is reflect, this is unreal. But somewhere the reality is existing, that's why you are mistaking this to be that. So in this way he established his theory of Vishishtadvaitavada over Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavada. That there is the variety. There, whatever is existing here is existing somewhere else. That's why we are mistaking this to be that. And a very wonderful analogy is presented that yes, this is a reflection. Now whatever is there in the reflection must be existing in the reality. Otherwise, what's the possibility of that reflection? So whatever is there in this material nature is existing there beyond that impersonal Brahman in the personal aspect of the spiritual reality. And in this way, Ramanujacharya defeated Shankaracharya's Mayavad and established the personalism, and then Madhvacharya came and further re-established that theory through his Daitavada. In this way, the supreme personality, the supreme spiritual understanding has been established, and ultimately Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. There was a conflict between personalism and impersonalism. Shankaracharya's and the Vaishnavas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he perfectly harmonized that through his theory of Achinta Bheda Bhed Tattva. Achinta, to begin with, it is Achinta, it is beyond our mental perception. And that is the transcendental reality, Achinta. Achinta has been described, as it has been pointed out here also, that which is beyond our sense perception. Achinta khalu je bhava natang starkena jo jayet. And what is the lakshanam of Achinta? Prakritibhya parejastu tad achintasya lakshana. That is beyond this material nature, prakriti. That is achinta. This nature is limited to our sense perception or relative to our sense perception. We perceive with our senses this reality. Or with our senses we can perceive only this material reality, material nature. But that which is existing beyond the perception of our senses, that is transcendence. And that is the spiritual reality. And then he established that spiritual reality is bhed and abhed. They generally, the Vedanta philosophy generally deals with three aspects: prakriti, jiva and Ishvara. Like in Bhagavad Gita we get these three plus two more. Those two other extra features in Bhagavad Gita, extra considerations in Bhagavad Gita are kal, time and karma. Prakriti, jiva, Ishvara, kal and karma. That is dealt with in Bhagavad Gita. Generally, they deal with these three aspects: jiva, Ishvara and prakriti. So, this is, first to begin with, to understand that, we have to understand that this is beyond our sense perception. Adhokshaja, as it has been pointed out here. Adhokshaja. Adhokshaja means beyond our sense perception. And this reality which is beyond our sense perception, when we deal with these three, this bhed and abhed. There is a difference and there is similarity. Like the relationship between jiva and Ishvara, mainly. Mayavadi is saying the jivas will become Brahman. Then Brahman, then jivas are synonymous to Narayan. When the jivas become Brahman, when they become situated in the mode of goodness, then they are Narayan. And when they go beyond the mode of goodness, they become Brahman. They are no more Narayan also. They are Brahman. Ultimately Narayan also becomes Brahman. So that is their understanding. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that the jivas are spiritual, and the living in, then the Ishvara also is spiritual. Only difference is that the jivas are minute, Ishvara is absolute. Just like a drop of water and ocean. A drop of water is water, but a drop of water cannot be considered as ocean. The drop is minute and the ocean is vast. So jivas are minute spiritual entities and Ishvara, Krishna, is the supreme spiritual entity. Qualitatively they are one, but quantitatively they are different. And prakriti is Lord's external energy, and when the jivas become isolated from the Lord, then they come into the prakriti, material nature. A wonderful analogy in that respect is a spark and fire. A big, huge fire is burning and there is a spark. The spark also is fire, but a tiny fire. Atom, it's very, very minute atomic particle of fire. So this spark is fire only as long as the spark is in the fire or in connection with fire. When the spark comes out of the fire, it loses its fiery qualities. And coming out of the fire, it falls on a heap of ash, it becomes ash. So jivas are minute spiritual spark, and when the jivas become isolated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they lose their spiritual qualities. And coming into the material nature, they identify themselves with matter. Now, if that spark has to regain its fiery qualities, what needs to be done? From the ash it must go back to the fire. As soon as it goes back to the fire, it will become fire again. Similarly, the jivas have become conditioned in the material nature because of their isolation from the spiritual personality of Godhead. Now, if they become connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead once again, then they will become situated in the spiritual identity. So that is, in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu harmonized these differences that was there between the personalists and impersonalists. It's achinta, bhed and abhed. Simultaneously one and different. Qualitatively they are one, quantitatively they are different. So Brahma also is telling the same thing to Narada Muni about the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Lord of everyone. And we all are His tiny little parts and parcels. Whether we are an ant or whether we are Brahma. That is our identity. We are just very, very tiny little parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a jiva. And the way to understand Him is through the process of devotional service. Bhakta mam abhijanati. And if one doesn't take to devotional service, you'll never be able to understand the Lord. One may pursue the spiritual process, one may try to approach the spiritual reality, but his understanding of the spiritual reality will always remain incomplete in the form of impersonal. And what is the goal of the impersonalism? Those who are pursuing the path of impersonalism, what do they actually derive? What do they actually gain? Klesha adhikatara stesham abhyakta shakta chetasham. Abhyakta hi gotir dukkham deho bhivad abhapyate. So, thus, klesha adhikatara stesham. Klesha, suffering. Abhyakta shakta chetasham, whose consciousness is attached or ashakta to abhyakta, unmanifest or impersonal aspect of the spiritual reality, all they get is only suffering. Klesha adhikata rastesham. They get increasing suffering because of their attachment to the impersonal. Because impersonalism, unmanifested aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply leads to suffering. So two paths are open to us. A path of suffering or a path of enjoyment. Now the choice is ours. Whether we want suffering or enjoyment. Suffering or joy, transcendental joy. Now when one takes the pursuit of devotional service, what do they get? It's quite visibly manifest. When does one sing and dance? Does one sing and dance when one is suffering? No. So the devotees sing and dance. That shows that they are experiencing the joy. And those who cannot experience their joy, they simply invite suffering. And from their appearance you can see that. Morose face. Depressed. Can't sleep at night. Can't digest their food. So that is that the goal of our existence? Never. While driving, Advaita Chandra Prabhu was telling that in South India, they cannot accept this aspect that devotees are dancing and chanting. They can't relate to that. Because they're suffering, that's why they can't relate to that. Whereas the devotees are enjoying. They're enjoying so much that they don't even have any desire or any inclination for materialistic enjoyment. Everyone is trying to get enjoyment in so many different ways. They are prepared to spend so much money. They are prepared to do what so many different things. They are prepared to undergo so many different trials and tribulations to have some enjoyment. Whereas the devotees are submerged in an ocean of joy just by being connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and developing their loving relationship with Him. And Brahma is making the same point to Narada, and as a result of that, Narada recognized that ultimate goal of life is to become a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have it? Yes, Chandrasekhar.
Don't I ask, why is Mayavada philosophy considered atheistic when it does speak, after all, about spirit, about God?
Do they?
I think Brahman is not considered to be material.
Okay, good.
So why is it atheistic?
Yeah.
Why do the Vaishnavas consider it atheistic?
In order to understand that, we have to understand why Shankaracharya came to establish that theory. Shankaracharya came to establish that theory, Kalu, in the age of Kali, only in the recent past. Because in the age of Kali, many demons will take birth in the Brahminical families and destroy the Vedic culture. They'll take birth in the Brahmana families to destroy the Brahminical culture, which was to give the proper understanding of the Vedas. And those Rakshashas, Rakshasha Kalimashritya Jayante Brahmajamishu. Some Rakshashas taking advantage of the age of Kali will take birth in the Brahmana families. And what they will do, they will misrepresent the Vedas. And introduced in the name of Vedas, they will introduce all kinds of demoniac culture. And one such demoniac culture is to slaughter innocent animals in the name of sacrifice. There is a Vedic system of sacrificing animal. But that is done in a very, very specific way with a specific purpose. But they indiscriminately started to slaughter animals to eat their flesh in the name of the Vedas. So seeing that there's so many innocent animals are being killed, the soft heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead was afflicted by that. And he therefore appeared as Buddha. Nindasi yagga viderahaha shruti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pashu ghatam keshavadrita buddha sharia. So appearing as Lord Buddha, he actually established a theory of non-violence. And in order to do that, he had to reject the Vedas. Vedas were rejected. Because all these activities were going on in the name of the Vedas. To stop those activities, the safest and the simplest way was to not recognize the Vedas. Start a new theory, new sort of religion, which is not in conformity with the Vedas. That's what Buddha did. And his mission was accomplished. Animal sacrifice stopped. But now there is a need to re-establish the Vedas. Okay, now why Buddhism is atheism? Buddhism has been identified, therefore, as covered atheism. Why? Because the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes from the Vedas. Vedaishcha sarvai aham eva vaidya. in all the Vedas, I am to be known. I alone am to be known. The Vedas are actually revealing the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if Vedas are rejected, what's the possibility of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Therefore, it's covered atheism. Okay, now the necessity arose to re-establish the Vedas over Buddhism. Now, if the Vedas were to be established, then the Buddhists will not reject, the Buddhists will not accept it unless and, I mean, as long as the Vedic presentation was just as it is. Therefore, there was a need to present it in a way which is akin to atheism. That's what Shankaracharya did. You see, he didn't come. Now he has been assigned with the responsibility to establish the Vedas again. Now if he brought the Vedas as it is, then the Buddhists will say, okay, that is your theory. We don't have to do anything. We don't have anything to do with that. Therefore, Shankaracharya very expertly, he just used the Buddhist conclusion to establish the Vedas. Like the Buddhist understanding is that Nirvana is the ultimate goal of life. Be good, follow the 10 good activities, then you will be situated on the path of Dharma. And the goal of life is to attain Nirvana. Now what is Nirvana? Nirvana means to become nothing. That's why Buddhism is considered to be voidism, nothing, shunyavad. Shunya, at the end you'll become shunya, you'll become nothing. They have a whole theory about that, philosophical conclusion about that. Simply it is, in simple words, it is like, this body is the cause of suffering. So, if we get rid of the body, then there won't be any suffering. The body is the cause of suffering, therefore get rid of the body, so there won't be any suffering. So Prabhupada is pointing out the mistake of that conception is that you got a boil in your leg, right? Therefore get rid of the leg, there won't be any boil. There won't be any suffering. So Shankaracharya came and pointed out that, look, you are talking about Nirvana. And you are saying Nirvana is to become nothing. But this Nirvana is actually a Vedic concept. And Nirvana, according to the Vedas, is not to become nothing, but to become everything. To become the absolute. So there, in this way, over the Shunyavad, he established his Mayavad or Brahmavad. Brahma, like you become not Shunya, but you become Brahma. What is Brahma? Brahman is everything. But now you see, the thing is that Brahma, which means doesn't have any form, doesn't have any quality, doesn't have any variegatedness. In other words, Brahma is also Shunya. It's nothing. You get the point? Brahman doesn't have any form, Brahman doesn't have any quality, Brahman doesn't have any attribute, Brahman doesn't have any, like this way, when you point present, then ultimately Brahma means Brahma has nothing. So in a way, Brahma has been presented also as Shunya in a very smart way by Shankaracharya. That impersonalism and Shunyavada are quite akin in that way. That's why it is considered to be covered Buddhism. He presented Mayavad based on the Vedas, which is actually almost like Buddhism. But he had to do that to re-establish the Veda. To re-establish the Vedas. And after he has re-established the Vedas, then Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, and Nimbarkacharya and Vishnu Swami came and established the personal aspect, the Vaishnava aspect of the Vedanta. So that is why It is called covered Buddhism. Yes?
Maharaj, you mentioned this, the spark, living entity is the spark of the fire. So, in order to we become spiritualized, does this depend on intensity of our attempt to please Krishna? Like how much time we spend in spiritual activities, shravana, kirtana, smarana, or just depend on the mercy of the Lord?
Well, I mean, to go back to that point, whether it's a matter of time or intensity, the first consideration will be intensity. Time doesn't matter. It's intensity, sincerity. How earnestly we want to become connected to Krishna. That's what really matters. And according to that, our sincerity, Lord's mercy will flow. And that is going to connect us with Him. That mercy will enable us to become situated on the spiritual reality. Yes?
Thank you very much for this healing opportunity. I was appreciating how you always bring our attention back to the basics. My question is, what are the features of the Achintya Veda Veda philosophy that are unique, that are not found in, say, Ramanujacharya's Vishishta Veda? Because the Sri Vishnu's often wonder, you know, what is it that Lord Chaitanya's philosophy giving more than what we already have, because Ramanujacharya's presentation is complete.
Well, let me try to explain that with my limited understanding. You see, Ramanujacharya established the Vishishta Advaitavad, Advaita. Shankaracharya has established Advaita, non-duality. Like, ultimately it is all this. Everything is one. There is no variegatedness, no duality. Whereas he is pointing out that qualitatively that duality is in the spiritual. Like it is advai, non-dual, is a qualitative aspect. It's because that is all spiritual. But in that spiritual, there is variety. So he is touching the duality of the spiritual, but he is not totally establishing that. Whereas Madhvacharya specifically established that duality of the spiritual reality. That there is the difference, duality, the living entity is an individual, Lord is an individual. Although both are spiritual, but there is a difference. The living entity is minute, the Lord is absolute. Right? So, they gradually, step by step, they're coming into spiritual variegatedness. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established that variegatedness in a specific way through his Achintya Bheda Veda doctrine. Like the ultimate culmination of that understanding is in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Achintya Bheda Veda doctrine. As I pointed out, bheda and abheda, there is a difference and non-difference, like Prakriti and Ishvara. There is a bheda, there is a difference. But there is a non-difference also, the link also, because Prakriti is Lord's energy. It's a part of Lord's energy. But it's a separated energy. So it is bheda and abheda. It's separated in one sense, and Lord's, being Lord's energy, it is also part of the Lord. It is, Prakriti also is spiritual, because it is a part of Lord's energy. As much as the prison house is a part of the king's kingdom. To a prisoner there may be, prison house may be different, but from the king's perspective, is a, or a free living entity, it's a part of the king's kingdom. Then with the jiva is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Satchidananda, the jivas are also Satchidananda. But the jivas can become Satchidananda only when he is connected to the Supreme Satchidananda. And that analogy has been given in the form of fire. Like a spark will be a fire only when it's in connection with fire. Otherwise, it's not. So here you are, Lord's energy, separated energy. When the living entity is in contact with the separated energy, then it becomes a part of the separated energy. Again, bhed and abhed. One and at the same time different. So that is the perfection of Mahaprabhu's presentation. And a very beautiful analogy has been given in this respect, is that on the foundation of atheism, on the field of atheism, on the ground of atheism, Shankaracharya dug the foundation. The foundation goes in the other direction. The building will go up this way, but the foundation goes that way. Right? So therefore it seems that Shankaracharya is actually presenting something which is opposed to the Vedic understanding. But no, that is the foundation. It was necessary to establish the Vedas. And on that foundation, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya and Vishnu Swami build the temple. And in that temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the deities of Radha Krishna. So it's in perfect harmony. So therefore, Prabhupada time and time again pointed out that Shankaracharya is our Acharya. We don't have any conflict with Shankaracharya. He's our Acharya. But we have to understand what is the purpose of his presentation.
So Krishna is tricking the living entity.
What's that?
Trick. It's kind of trick Lord Chaitanya made to build a temple and then put Radha and Krishna in.
Have you been tricked or have you been saved?
Who tricked them to build a temple and then the devotees come and worship Krishna.
Just as Prabhupada tricked you. Yes.
Maharaj, I have a question about faith. What is faith? Because at the beginning, as you read, Lord's energies are inconceivable for us to understand. So basically, everything goes based on faith, spiritual faith. What is it?
The faith is to trust. Have trust in the words of the Vedas and words of the Acharyas. Who gives us that? Like we have to have believe that what they are saying is true, although I cannot understand it. Right? Just like when you are learning the alphabets, A, B. You didn't question when your mother said that this is A. You accepted that this is A. That's the faith. You accept that it is it's true. And then, in course of time, it becomes established. It becomes verified. When you grow up, then you read, and it, A becomes confirmed that A is A and B is B. Right? So similarly, like, we believe that whatever has been spoken in the Vedas is or Srimad Bhagavatam, is the truth and nothing but the truth. We accept it. Although we cannot understand whether it's, but because Prabhupada is saying it, we accept it. But then, in course of time, does your faith become confirmed? Does your faith become verified? Right? That is the thing. It's not blind faith. It is faith based in absolute knowledge.
So why so many people don't have?
That is their misfortune. Why they don't? that is their misfortune.
So is it faith, is the mercy, or is the
Well, faith, no, initially you have to have it. You have to have it. You have to believe in that. Like say, think of yourself. Did the faith come as mercy or you accepted? Well, no. It is true, it's real. So it's not a matter of mercy. I would say it's a matter of purity of consciousness. And that purity is caused by the mercy of the devotee. So okay, become open to the mercy of the devotee, have faith and make progress in Krishna consciousness and make your life perfect. Isn't that an intelligent proposal? Whether others have faith or not, that doesn't matter. The question is whether you have the faith. If you have it, you are the fortunate one. And the thing is, it's not blind. Therefore Prabhupada is saying, if you have a question, ask the question. If you have any doubt, ask. And we'll dispel your doubt. And that's the difference between blind faith and our faith. Blind faith says, don't ask questions. Don't ask any questions. I'm saying, therefore you must accept it. But what kind of faith is that? Our faith is, if you have any question, ask. Remove your doubt. And after removing your doubt, when you have the faith, then you accept it. Until then, okay, fine. You have questions. Ask questions. If you have a question, we have an answer. That is Prabhupada's way. Okay. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.